Hey, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Shall we bow in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for the unity which we have in Christ. Thank you, Father, for the body of Christ, knowing that when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are brought into the body of Christ, and that we are members in particular, yet at the same time, we serve within the body, and you bless us within those gifts that you have given to us. Thank you, Father, for your love and grace to us, and that Christ is our supreme head of the church. And we thank you, Father, for the relationship that we have to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask your blessing this afternoon as we come together, and may you encourage us and edify us in faith. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, as we looked at the worthy walk of the believer, as we are to walk worthy of the calling which we have been called to in Christ. And this week we want to just look at the sevenfold union which we have in Christ within the church. And we find that in verses 4 through 6, there is mentioned here the sevenfold union which we have in Christ. And the first of these is there is one body. There is one body. When we come to the subject of the church of Jesus Christ, we know that it is that organism which has been blessed of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ, as Christ is the supreme head of the church. And so we are one body. Now the universal body of Christ is one body in Christ. The local church is one body in Christ as well. And there is not much difference between the two, except that the local church is that local assembly of believers which meet together, as opposed to the universal body of Christ, which is all true believers which are united together in Christ and in that doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is unto salvation. So we realize that we have a unique relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this one body which we are in Christ, a body of believers. And as we think about the body, the idea of a body, We know that it is that entity of fullness and completeness, and in this case, it is in Christ. Well, if your body, your physical body, for instance, if you were missing part of it, it would be subject to some handicap, or if it was somehow impaired, be subject to some handicap. Or you might say, well, if part of my body is missing, then it isn't complete. Certain parts of it could be missing and you could continue to function. But other parts of it, if they were missing, you couldn't. If you were to take out the organ, the heart, you couldn't function too well. That would be a big problem. You might be able to get by without a hand or a foot, although you'd find it a little difficult. But in the body of Christ, we have this completeness and fullness in the body of Christ. And in Christ, who is in the fullness of God bodily, that he is that God-man, the one who was very God and very man, and the fullness of the Godhead was in him. There is no lacking in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the truest sense, there is no lacking in the body of Christ. You might say, well, how come we have so many problems within churches? Well, that's on a different level, isn't it? That seems to be on a level of the human nature, which is sometimes at enmity with Christ for some reason, whether it be because of sin or transgressions, a spirit of non-reconciliation, various kinds of things that could be said about that. But the fullness of the body of Christ is not lacking. The true Christ is not lacking in himself. Our head is not lacking. And if we look at this from the standpoint of the union which we have, of course, Christ makes it possible to be a part of that union in him. Christ makes that possible. Within the local church, we sometimes have problems because there is a lacking in us, wherein we are not yielded to the Spirit of God, etc. There is no lacking in Christ. In other words, on the part wherein Christ himself is the head, there is no lack, nor within that functioning body which he has brought unto himself. There is no lack because he is the author and finisher of our faith. So we know that on that side of the issue, there is fullness and completeness. There is union in the body of Christ. It's just on our side of the issue that we sometimes have difficulties, and those usually arise because of some sin or area of unreconciled need, which we have not addressed. But there is one body. One body. Secondly, he says there is one spirit. One spirit in the body of Christ. And of course, we'd have to say the spirit is that work of the Holy Spirit. We might refer to John chapter 3, wherein the Spirit of God is that which brings us unto our new birth. How can we be born again? But by the Spirit of God. We were born naturally, but then to be born spiritually, we must be born again of the Spirit of God. And so we have that aspect of the work of the Spirit of God to bring us into that oneness in Christ. There is that aspect of the yielding to the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God is able to bring us into a relationship with Christ, wherein we are in greater harmony with the will and purpose of God, Ephesians 5:18. So we find that we're to be yielded to the Spirit of God, that we might be filled with the Spirit of God. And so we find that God would desires us to be at one with him in those things. All of these areas are made possible because of the manifest work of the Spirit of God. There is one Spirit in the body of Christ. One true Spirit that is efficiently effective to the whole, that the body of Christ may function properly. Now again, wherever there is difficulties within the body of Christ, the local church, it may be because of some other spirit. It is not this Holy Spirit that's at fault. It's got to be some other spirit that's at work, of man, naturally, of man. Of course, we do know that many times people cause their own difficulties within the church because of their own will, exercising their own will, their own spirit, which is against the work of God. But there is oneness in the body of Christ. We are one body in Christ because of Christ. not because of us, but because of Christ. There is one Spirit in the body of Christ, and again, that is because of the working of the Spirit of God. We are brought into the body of Christ. We are filled with the Spirit of God as we yield ourselves unto Him. We are baptized into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we find that as we are brought into the body of Christ in this integral area wherein God is at work, we find there is fullness and there is union in the body of Christ. Now, of course, again, if there is problems in the body of Christ, it is because of some other aspect of man's unwillingness to yield to the true Spirit of God. And that, of course, must be dealt with before things can proceed in the local assembly. But as far as this union is concerned, there is no lacking in the union. There is no lacking in Christ, and as He has made us to be a part of His body, we are one body. There is no lacking in the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God has done this work to bring us into the body of Christ. There is no lacking in our lives when we are yielding by the Spirit of God to Christ. There is no lacking there. So we have to look at these things as a unity that we have in Christ. It is in Christ that these things must find their fullness and their union. It is in Christ, just as we are to abide in Christ. John chapter 15, abide in me and I in you. And so as we abide in Christ, we find the fullness of that relationship. So we have one body, we have one Spirit, and we have one calling. There is only one calling, and that one calling is in Christ. And as it says here, there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Called in one hope of your calling. And so we understand again that fullness of the body of Christ, which we are a part of, is in Christ. That work of the Holy Spirit is one Spirit in the body of Christ, that brings fullness in the body of Christ. And that calling that we have in Christ, there's no lacking in that calling. And that is how we receive the fullness of the hope of your calling. What is the hope of your calling? But to know that relationship, to have that relationship that you have in Christ, and to know the fullness of your salvation in Christ. You are called. Just as Paul mentions earlier here concerning walking worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. There is a side of that which lends to human responsibility. In other words, we're responsible to walk in a certain way that we might prove ourselves to have that calling. We must walk in a certain way. There's no lack on Christ's side. Christ is the one who has called us. Certainly there is no lacking there. But again, on the area of human responsibility, we find sometimes many people are wanting. Hence the need to exhort one another in these things. So to be exhorted in the body of Christ, let us have the fullness of the body of Christ by yielding to the Spirit of God. Let us have the fullness of the body of Christ by being true to the calling which Christ has given to us and the hope of our calling. There is a side on each one of these wherein human responsibility is to be played out. We don't save ourselves. We can't. We can't call ourselves. We cannot do that. We can't bring ourselves into the body of Christ and attach ourselves on. No, Christ must do all the work that is necessary that we might be one in the body of Christ. But yet there is a human responsibility side. There is an accountable side that says we must do something. After we realize these things, we must prove ourselves faithful. One body, one spirit, one calling. And the hope of this calling, of course, is not only to be in Christ and to be one with Christ, but to walk in that spirit, but of course the ultimate hope is that we will be with Christ someday. The blessed hope that we have. I suppose you've all heard somebody say, well, I hope I'm saved. Well, that person really perhaps doesn't fully understand that on the supply side, if you will, where Christ resides, there is no lack. If one is saved, our hope of calling is sure. It is in Christ. Our hope of calling is sure. On the side wherein we're accountable, perhaps there is some lacking. That is, that there's not enough effort being put forward to walk a worthy walk, or to yield to the Spirit of God, or to confirm that calling by one's life. But in Christ, we have this union. A union in one body, a union in one spirit, a union in one calling. There is no other calling but in Christ. And then fourthly, in verse 5, he says, one Lord. We have one Lord. In this case, we might just say, we have one Master. Is your Lord the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your Master Christ? He said, have you fully given yourself over to him? Remember Mary, when she saw the Lord Jesus after the resurrection, she called out to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She knew him as Master and Lord. Do we know the Lord as our true Master? You see, but there is only one. Either he is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all, as the cliche goes. But it is to reinforce that he is to be Master and Lord of our lives. We are to serve him. It has that element of servanthood too. When one is under their Lord, one is to be the servant of the Lord. Jesus did say in John chapter 15 that he did not call them servants any longer, but rather they were like disciples and friends to him. And in other words, if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ with the right relationship, then even though he is our Lord and Master, we see him also as a friend. In other words, there's a relationship bond between us and the Lord wherein we do not want to displease him, we want to please him. We want to honor him whom we serve. We want to glorify him. And there is no slave relationship to it. It's not like you are bound in a detrimental way to your Master. No, he is your Master because what? Well, as the scripture says, you have become a bond slave to him. You have gone to the doorpost and you have had your ear borne through with an awl. And the slave has now become a bond slave. That was the way that they became the bond slave. They willingly gave up their freedom that they might serve their Master forever. And in Christ, that's what we are to do, of course. There is only one Lord. One Lord and Savior. One Lord and Master. And we have bound ourselves to him. We are to serve him. These are the aspects of the unity which we have in Christ. One body, one spirit, one calling. One body, for there is fullness and completeness in the body of Christ. One spirit, because there is no lacking in the work of the Spirit of God. Its work is full and complete, and it is powerful. It is with authority. There is no lacking in our calling, because our calling is sure. No man shall pluck you out of my hand. No man can come unto the Father except by me. The calling is a sure calling. And it is one that we need to be true to. One Lord, because He is our Lord and our Master, and we love to serve Him, and we are His servants, not out of servitude, but out of love. And also in verse 5, one faith. There's one faith. But there is only one faith. One true faith. The faith which is in Christ Jesus. We have been given the gift of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is that faith is inborn in us by the Spirit of God. That faith is a faith which is integrated into our lives by the working of grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith is integrated into our lives. And so there is only one faith, and it's the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can also say that Christ is the true object of our faith. Christ is the true object of our faith. There is no other one that we look to that faith may be realized in our lives. Christ is the true object of our faith. We don't look to anything else. We don't look to finances for faith. We don't look to our spouses for faith. We don't look to our children for faith. We don't look to any element of love which we have born up in ourselves for faith. There is nothing. Works is not faith. Any kind of works which we do is not faith. Christ is the true object of our faith. He is the only one that can make the reality of true faith in us. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And so there is only one faith. It cannot be misconstrued to be of anything else. One body, one spirit, one calling, one Lord, and one faith. Faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you see, each one of these has an area of accountability on our side. Are we walking in faith? Are we living by faith? Are we truly the manifest work of God in faith? That is, the things that are working out in our lives is faith being worked out in our lives. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is that which is unseen. It's unseen, as we know the book of Hebrews tells us. And so we need to look at all of these areas as that union which we have in Christ. There is only one faith in Christ. One baptism. Now normally we think of baptism, of course, as being immersed in water. And through that water baptism we have initiated a commitment to Christ. Through water baptism. When one follows through with water baptism, what do? They personally initiate a commitment to Christ, if they know what they're doing. Otherwise, it might be nothing more than a ritual that they're involved in, especially as it relates to infant baptism. And infant baptism would be nothing more than the parents initiating some means of faith to the child that they might raise their children. But certainly it has nothing to do with the union in Christ until the child gets old enough to recognize what's going on. Then it may be that they will confirm faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But water baptism is initiation by the candidate of a confirmation of faith in Christ. But what is it to be baptized into the body of Christ? Now that is a different story. That seems to be totally the work of God. Have you been initiated into the body of Christ by the work of the Spirit of God? It's in that you have been brought into that divine relationship, that unique relationship where Christ and you are now in union. There's only one baptism in Christ. And it's not water baptism per se, but it is a union which is in Christ. In fact, all believers who come to faith in Christ us baptized into the body of Christ. Whether or not they have been sprinkled or immersed or whatever else it might be, that's a kind of a separate issue. That's a more or less rite and ceremony. And now we may believe that immersion is the only true aspect of representing that, but that's another issue. What about being baptized into the body of Christ? That has to be a separate issue. And there's an issue of union in Christ, wherein Christ brings us into that relationship that we have in Him. And following that relationship, wherein one has come to faith in Christ and has been brought into the family of God, and it may follow very well that they then go and are baptized into water, to say to the world, I have confirmed my faith now in Christ and I'm identifying with Christ. One baptism in Christ. And then the last one that we see here is one God and Father of all. There is only one God and Father of all. God the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We call it the triunity of the Godhead, not because they are distinctly separate, but they are distinctly individual in union and in kind, that they are one. And so the triunity of the Godhead is not three gods, it is one. And there is one God the Father, just as there is one God the Son and one God the Holy Spirit. But they are one. And we find that one God and Father of us all. And so it is that Christ even prayed unto God the Father that he might do the Father's will. He had sent him into the world to do it. And so we find that this one God and Father of us all is important to our understanding of the great work of salvation. Just as we realize that God the Father was there at creation, we know that God the Father sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for the sins of the world. And that God the Father also sent his Spirit at the right time, that the Spirit of God may infill or to empower all those who would come into the body of Christ by faith. And so the church is empowered through the work of the Spirit of God, even as God the Father is the author and true finisher of our faith by his own divine purposes, according to the working of election. Just back up a few pages there. Wherein Paul talks about the work of God the Father. Grace be unto you, chapter 1, verse 2, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. There is only one God and Father of us all. I think those verses really say it quite nicely, better than I can say it, that God the Father did purpose in before the foundations of the world, that these things should come to pass, even that this great union should be as it is for us, that we might be a part of the fullness of Christ. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. And so we recognize of the great work of God in redemption. Perhaps we could turn back to John chapter, I think it's 14 that I want. That's in my book. John chapter 14. I'm just trying to scan down through here and find the verse that I'm looking for. Verse 11. Well, let's read verse 10 as well, I guess. We'll start with verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. See, Jesus was to see the Father. And how sayest thou then, Showest us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? Jesus says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And so he makes this confirmation of this relationship that he has with the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And so this relationship is one of union with the Father. And so our union is also with the Father. And so this relationship is one which is of union and blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Father. One body, one spirit, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. And so let us remember this aspect of the sevenfold union which is in Christ. One other verse we might look at here, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. So this integral relationship that Jesus had was one of union with his disciples, and he really wanted to enforce that. When we come to verse 20, he says, At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, Jesus is in the Father, you are in me, we are in Christ, and I, Christ, is in you. Now see, that verse actually shows that union very strongly in all three aspects. That Jesus is in the Father is in Christ, and he is in us. And this is the union that we have within the body of Christ. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us. Ask for your blessing and strengthening of us in this union that we have, that we may, on the accountable side, show ourselves faithful and prove ourselves in the body of Christ, even as you have called us to it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.